Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You may be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or a special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and any of the free downloads I mentioned. Quick question, are you on my newsletter list? Every week I send out a newsletter to my readers with EdTech favorites, free events, giveaways, and more. If you get on the list, you'll automatically get one of my free EdTech guides as a special bonus. Go to classtechtips.com/signup to make sure you don't miss a thing. This week's episode is titled Four Tips for Assessing Online Learning and Feedback, and I'm taking a spin on an article I originally published on ASCD InServices blog this past summer. It includes some favorite tips, and I've added in a few extras to this podcast episode. If you want to see the original blog post, just head over to the show notes for this episode where I've added the link, or take a look right here where you're listening to the episode. I add extra links on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, so it should be right there for you to click on as well. How do you assess student learning online? How is it different from checking for understanding and giving feedback in a classroom? Well, over the past few months, so many of our conversations have shifted to focus on the best ways to support student learning at a distance. We have platforms that make communication and distribution of resources easier than ever. When assessing online learning and providing feedback to students, we can use these digital spaces strategically, without attempting to substitute or mimic past experiences, we can identify the value add or benefit of using digital spaces while building on the best practices. So as we talk today about assessing online feedback and assessing online learning and giving feedback to students, I really hope you listen in to the value add or benefit, the extra thing that we can do in these digital spaces that wouldn't have been possible without the digital tools. First up on our list of four tips, let's talk about providing options for students. In a traditional classroom setting, we know that a one-size-fits-all approach isn't best when it comes to assessment. In digital spaces, the same thing remains, and you can have students share their learning and respond to a question in different ways. For example, you might set up a journaling space for students to give responses, or have them really work through some daily or weekly prompts where they post their responses. And if you do use a tool that has audio, video, and voice to text options, students can then pick how they respond to a prompt. A tool like Book Creator is a great option. For those of you who followed along for a while, you know that I love Book Creator and have done some work with their team. And they have a few different options that they offer students anytime they're giving a response or adding something to a page in their book. So the value add or benefit here is that your students can give you a response that helps you determine if they'll need additional support, regardless of the technology you use. So if you ask students to share a takeaway from a lesson, students can tell you with their voice, on video or through text, and their preference of media might even change throughout the week. Now, you can give students options when it comes to having them respond to a prompt in lots of different tools. You can even create a journal type of experience inside of a tool like Google Slides. So really up to you how you give students options to respond to a question that you've posed to them. In addition to providing options, we also want to make sure that whenever we're assessing online learning and giving feedback, that we make it actionable. If you are giving students feedback on their work, making sure it's relevant to the task is important, but also it's essential that they know what they're going to do with this feedback. For example, if your students are creating an outline for a research project, feedback such as "great job" isn't actionable. We know this is true in a traditional face-to-face classroom, and it's important to consider in online spaces as well. In a classroom setting, a student might be able to ask a quick follow-up question for clarification, but in a virtual classroom, making feedback actionable really requires a level of clarity at the start. So although you might add a emoji or like a sticker onto a student's work in a digital space, giving them that extra action item is going to be especially important if you're not sitting side by side. So you might review the feedback you give to students to make sure there is that clear action item. For example, if your students are working in a collaborative Google Doc, you might leave a comment with a general comment such as, "I like how you fill in the blank," and add an action item that points them to a supporting digital resource. Now, continuing with this research example, you might even review a student outline and provide an action item like, "Watch this short video tutorial for information on citing sources," and then you put in the link. Or you might say, "Review this list of tips for evaluating a website," and then add the link there. Just this past October on my blog, I actually did a post in partnership with the Keyset Chrome extension, and that's one that makes it really easy to give feedback and set up these custom keyboards. I mean, it's really fantastic what you can do just from an ease and efficiency perspective. So if you are tackling this idea of giving feedback and making sure it's super actionable, you might want to check out that resource. I know when I put together the blog post for them, they were offering a 30-day free trial, so it might be something you want to check out. So the first two tips on our list are to provide options with the ways kids respond and then make it actionable by including that action item. Number three on our list of four tips is personalization when possible. Now, using the assessment data you collect provides an opportunity for more personalized learning pathways for students. You might remember that fellow ASCD author Eric Scheninger joined me for a conversation about remote learning earlier this spring. I want to say it was March or April of this year that we recorded that interview. And he spoke about focusing on elements of voice and choice, path, pace, and place. And when collecting assessment data in a traditional classroom setting, you want to think about gathering resources and developing interventions for students. So that happens all the time anyway, right? Organically when we're in a classroom, but in a virtual space, we can also distribute resources to students based on that data that we collect. So this could include creating collections of books for students within a tool like Epic, or sharing a supporting tool like the Apps in Math Learning Center based on what you've analyzed on the formative assessment data you've collected. So lots of directions to go in, right? I love the Math Learning Center apps as an example, or the Epic books, but you could really go in a few different directions because you know your kids and what they need. And of course, I'll link to that Eric Scheninger interview on some of the strategies that he shared this March, April, even though it was right at the start and of all of this kind of shift. And, you know, we weren't really sure where we would be this fall when Eric and I had that conversation. I still think it's really a relevant one to take a look at. Now, in my new quick reference guide for ASCD, I know a few people have snapped pictures of theirs and posted it on Instagram for me to see, but in that new quick reference guide called Distance Learning Essentials, I have a whole section on tips for giving student feedback. And although feedback should always be personal in the sense that it connects back to students and their needs, in an online environment takes a different spin. Now, giving feedback at a distance provides challenges specifically around communicating tone. Now, to make feedback in online learning spaces more personal, you might share a voice recording as a comment in a tool like Seesaw, or share a video response using Flipgrid. That way kids can hear and see you. Now, if you've joined me for a webinar this year where we've talked about feedback or distance learning tips, you might have heard me say, because I say it all the time, that when it comes to adding that voice component for personalizing feedback, this is something where we can all kind of relate. You know, I don't know about you, it doesn't happen all the time, but every once in a while, I'll get a text message from a family member or a friend, someone that I've known for my whole life or for decades, right? And I read that message and my first thought is, are they mad at me? Are they being sarcastic, right? Like even these people we love and have known our whole lives, sometimes we can't tell exactly what their tone is, even though we know them so well. So especially if you're working with a group of students that are new to you or who might just have a little bit of heightened sensitivity given all the things right in the world right now, having that extra layer of communicating tone is really going to make a difference for helping kids internalize that information and really use it or take action on it, if you will. So number three on our list of tips is this idea of personalization when possible. It might not be possible all the time, but when possible, really lean into that. I think it will make a big difference. Now, number four on our tips is to establish a routine. Try using a similar routine at the end of each live, so a synchronous meeting with students, or introduce a weekly assessment routine students can participate in during self-paced learning experiences. For example, you might set up a Padlet space for students to respond to a prompt at the end of every live lesson, or you might set up a space for students to post questions each week that you can bring up in the follow-up discussions you might have. Now, timely feedback we know is essential in all classrooms. And when there are lots of moving parts, especially in an online space, maintaining a consistent routine for feedback is so important for everyone. You might decide that you block off time for reviewing student work each day, and leaving feedback as opposed to reviewing student submissions the moment they come in might be something where you need to say, this happens at this time on my calendar. I'd really have it blocked out in a way that you might have not quite done in the past if you were working with a different type of schedule. Now, this can help you really set a dedicated time for giving feedback and help set an expectation for students that they will hear from you within a set time frame. So I'm hesitant, of course, or I should maybe not hesitant, but I want to be really mindful of the fact that I know that everyone right now, our schedules are all over the place, really being spread thin when it comes to this component. But if you are in a position where you can say, this is what my day looks like, and although I might meet live with students at this time, I have this other time to do the synchronous work and planning. And if that's something that's possible with your schedule, really carving out that time for feedback specifically can make a huge difference. So as you assess online learning, we know that flexibility and responsiveness is so key. You can pivot if a routine isn't working the way you'd like to. You can provide options for how students respond. And of course, you can tailor your feedback so that it crosses the physical distance between you and your students this year. So let's finish up this episode, as always, by making this EdTech easy. Here's some action items that you can take based on today's episode. First, identify your goals for assessment this year. Next, reflect on how your feedback routine is working. Then pick one strategy from today to try out with students. Finally, add that strategy to your tool belt or try another. I've listed all the resources from this episode in the show notes for today. Just click on the link for the show notes wherever you're listening to this episode, or go to classtechtips.com/podcast, which is where you can see the corresponding blog post that goes along with every podcast episode. Don't forget to make sure you have a spot on my newsletter list. Every week I send out a newsletter to my readers with EdTech favorites, free events, giveaways, and so much more. And believe me, there is a lot in store for 2021. Although when I say 2021, it kind of sounds like space years or sometimes far off into the future. If you're listening to this episode when it goes live in November, you know that it's right around the corner. So if you get on that list, you'll automatically grab one of my free EdTech guides as a special bonus. Just go to classtechtips.com/signup or use the link right on my homepage to make sure you don't miss a thing as we get ready for the next year. I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. Tell a friend about the podcast or post a link to the episode on your social media. And if you'd like to stay connected, follow @ClassTechTips on Instagram or your favorite social network. I visit schools and conferences all over the world and support organizations remotely with webinars and virtual professional learning. So if your group is in need of professional learning, just send a message my way.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.